Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, are you excited to hear the word today? Go with me to 3 John in verse 2. God's trying to help us. God's trying to bring people up higher. I had someone that was very spiritual in what they said yesterday after the service at Olean. They said it's amazing that God put the word right in the middle of Olean. And that the word was preached tonight, and how when the word goes forth, that's people's help. Amen. And it's amazing to me that God put the word smack dab in the center of South Dayton. Praise God. Amen. And this is your help this morning. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and pray and believe God for utterance. Father, we do love you and praise you. We magnify you and honor the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Father, we thank you for utterance this morning. Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, words from heaven will flow out of my mouth to the people. Father, I thank you, Lord, for boldness and for utterance. Father, I thank you that I'll speak as the oracles of God. And Lord, I thank you that you'll touch every single heart that is here this morning. We'll all walk out of here changed, all walk out of here bettered into a new level of glory. And Lord, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 3 John verse 2, this is part 2 of God's thoughts concerning money or finances. And it's important that you see it, because the way you think according to money will determine what money is like in your life, how much of it you have, whether you struggle, whether it's a problem. When I got my mind straight, and I'll mention it here in a second, I never have struggled with money since. Doesn't mean I haven't had tests, but I've never struggled through those tests. You know, the girl that sat next to me in school, Stephanie, that was smart and knew the answers. I tried to get her to let me copy off her paper so many times, and she just wouldn't let me. But she took the same tests I did, but she didn't struggle in those tests. But she had to take tests, and it just, we're all going to have to take tests, but let's not struggle through them, amen? And once you get your thinking straight, how do we know? Well, the Bible says, beloved, I wish above all things, guess it's important to him, that you mayest prosper. You know what prospering doesn't look like? It doesn't look like being late on all your payments. It doesn't look like stressing out over money and losing sleep over money. We're talking financial prospering here. Prospering doesn't look like grumbling and arguments over money. Prospering doesn't look like worrying and panic over money. That's not prospering. And he says, I want you to prosper. Well, the biblical definition of prosperity is found in 2 Corinthians. We won't go there. But the Bible says, you having enough for your sufficiencies and enough left over to give into every good work. What's God saying? I want my kids blessed, but I want my kids so blessed they're able to give into my kingdom. Yes. They're able to support what I'm doing, because God knows that it takes money to do his plan. And God also knows that the sinner, by the way, the sinner God is not obligated to. They're not in his family. The sinner is the devil's children. That's what the Bible says. God's not obligated to the devil's kids. The devil is. Amen. That's the truth. So be careful. Side note here. When you get involved with an unbeliever, your father-in-law is Satan. It's the truth. Look at me like that already. This is too early in the service for you all to start looking at me that way. God wants you to prosper because he loves you as his child. But he also knows if we're going to keep the lights on, keep the word going forth, support missionaries and ministers that go around the world preaching this, changing people's lives, it's going to take money. Well, if God's expecting his people to dole out the money for it, he's going to have to prosper us. Amen. Amen. He said in Isaiah 48, he said, I will teach you how to prosper. If you want to prosper, if you want to be done having it your way and struggling and worrying, I don't care what the rumors on TV say. I don't care about what the stock market does. It doesn't bother me. I don't care when the gas prices shoot up. My money is under his dominion and his authority. And he meets my needs according to his riches, not the stock market, not what my paycheck says, not what the gas prices are saying. Praise God. And if you want to get your finances in that way where you don't have to struggle, don't have to worry. It's time to start doing it His way, because He said, I'll teach you how to do it. Praise God. But that means you got to do what He says. Hallelujah. And so prosperity is something that belongs to us, and God needs us to have it. I mean, just personally, wouldn't it be nice to not struggle financially? I enjoy life. Let me just say this. Call me shallow if you want. But I enjoy life way more paying my bills, having money to go do things, blessing my kids, giving into the kingdom. I don't know. That just seems better.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry for the sarcasm this morning. We're going to be a good one, I guess. Hallelujah. It's going to be a doozy, I think. Praise the Lord. And I remember years ago that Dr. Dufresne called out in a service up in Mississauga, Ontario. He said, I don't want you to come forward if you just need to pay a bill or, you know, you want more money. He said, the Spirit of God told me there are people in here that are desperately need, that was his words, desperately need finances. Well, I was one of the other, me and another person went up. It was at that time that the church was struggling so bad financially. It looked like there was no way and no hope. Personally, same thing, looked like there was no way and no hope, and I went and got hands laid on me for it. And the anointing will break the yoke and things, but then you got to renew your mind and walk in faith and walk in the light of what you know. Why? Because the devil will try to bring that stuff back on you.
Right.
So the next morning, Pastor Nancy Dufresne preaching in the morning service, and let's say I'm sitting where Abby's sitting, and she's standing right there for 90 to 95% of the service preaching on renewing your mind financially. Because the Bible says, I wish that you would prosper and be in health, but only as your soul prospers. Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. As your mind prospers, so will your body and so will your finances. Because the Word says, be transformed in Romans 12. Be changed into what? From poverty into prosperity. From sickness into health. From depression into joy. From fear into victory. By the renewing of your mind. Prosperity does not start at your jobs. Prosperity does not start with an inheritance. Prosperity does not start at your business. It does not start at your checkbook. Prosperity starts between the ears. You got to get your mind right, renewed to the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so she stood right in front of me and preached. And everyone in that church knew. She's talking to me because she knew, yes, doctor has an anointing and can break some things. But if I don't get my mind renewed financially, it's not going to matter because the devil will just pile right back on and try to... In fact, what does the Word say? When a demon goes out of a man, I'm not saying I had a demon, but there was oppression there. When you're born again, you can't be demon-possessed. You're already God-possessed. You can be demon-oppressed, which is oppression from the enemy, but once you're God, you can't be possessed by the devil. You're already possessed by him. But the devil can oppress you. But here's my point. The Bible says when the devil goes out of a man, he goes out and he searches into the dry places. And he comes back, and when he comes back and he finds the house swept clean, he comes back and he brings something back seven times worse. What's he saying? The anointing can get destroyed off of me, and the devil will have to go, but the devil doesn't have to stay gone. The devil has legal right on planet Earth to do what he does. He can come back to me, and if he finds me empty, he's going to bring things seven times worse. Well, what do I need to fill up in? The Word. Fill the Word up in me. And so she was talking to me about renewing my mind. So I got my mind renewed financially to what the Word says about money. And I've never struggled since that service.
Amen.
Not that I haven't had tests. I've had tests that looked like it was going to be impossible to get through. But I got through all of them shining bright colors. Praise the Lord. Not battered, tattered, and worn on the other end of that thing. And so we talked about that. Praise God. And the good thing about renewing our mind to finances is there's over 2,000 scriptures in the Bible about money and material things. I bet you didn't know that unless you heard me last week say it. 2,000. That's more than heaven and hell verses combined. Not even close. Heaven and hell verses don't even come close. You say, wow. Is it because prosperity is better or more important than heaven and hell? No. But it's where the people trip up the most. And God says, I know my people trip up the most. That's where the marriages fail the most. It's where people personally struggle the most. By far, I talk to pastors. What's the number one issue? Money. What's the number one reason marriage is money? That's across the board, across the country. Talking to all these ministers. Well, God says, I know that's going to be the problem. That's going to be where people trip up. So I'm going to make it so they don't trip up. I'm going to give them so much information on it. Amen? So the opportunity to prosper and to have our mind renewed is there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we saw this last week. And we're just going to do this. This is kind of review what we're doing here and we'll go on. This is crazy to me that I thought this was going to be a one-week message. It's probably going to end up being like eight. I'm serious. I thought I was going to get all this done in one time. I thought, I don't know what was wrong with me. I thought, and I'm sitting here saying, no, we were going to go a long time on this because people need to get their minds renewed. Why should you want to be prosperous and why should this matter? Because God's kingdom is going to need money in these last days. Let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to scare you, but the Lord's put things on my heart personally that when he first shared some of these things, I'm like, duh. Lord, that you know how much I pastor a church in the town of 600 people, and at the time he showed me these things, we have like 20 people in the storefront. But I knew something, that he was going to have to add people, but he was also going to have to add people that were prospering. Amen. And remember when Brother Kevin Durant, the prophet of God, said this? He said, be thankful to be a part of a church that has great financial need. Now, not financial need in the sense that we're struggling, but we're going to need money to do what God's called us to do. Amen. Amen. And so you should want to prosper because it's kind of like this. God's looking in the end days for funders. If you'll, with your family, with your spouse or whatever, endeavor to say, you know what, we're going to not work for a living, we're going to work for a giving, and we want to be funders in this, and you really mean that with your heart, God will give you opportunities to be funders. And here's the thing about funders. Funders are like a hose. You know when a hose is spraying and watering and giving out, guess what? The hoses soak and wet. Yeah. And the funders will find that if they put their heart that way and give out like that, their lives will stay soaking wet with prosperity, praise right. God. And so we saw this in the Word, that the entrance into prosperity, not only for our own lives, which is great, but for the kingdom, it always starts at the door of what we do with our finances. What we do with our money according to what God says to do in the Word and what He says in our heart, that is the entrance place. Now, that's not the only thing that determines prosperity, but to even get into the covenant of prosperity, you have to go through the door of giving. It activates. God's provided us prosperity, but the activation button for prosperity is giving. You have a cell phone, right? And it's great and it can do things, but to make that thing work for you, it's got to be activated. How? You pay for it. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong, we're not paying for God's blessings, but it does activate the covenant. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And last night I stood up on the chairs, because I don't have a platform at Olean, so I'll spare you that. But I will stand up here and say this like I did last week, because this will get my point across, because you'll remember me up here. And every time I get up here, I imagine, my God, there's actually people that are this tall. That would be awesome, especially for sports. It would have really helped me with sports. But anyways, your obedience financially. You know what? I need to get used to this up here, because what we're going to end up doing when this place keeps filling up is we'll probably add two rows, and then I'll have to preach from up here. And then what we'll do is we'll go to two services. So I better start getting used to this, because that's where we're headed. Amen? Anyways, and so your prosperity, what you do with your money, according to what God says, is the entrance into biblical prosperity, which is no fear financially, all your needs met. Let me just say it this way, as plain as I can put it. If you don't do it God's way, stop thinking everything just worked out for you. I hear the most ignorant things come out of Christians' mouths. They don't go to church. They're not faithful. They don't do the Word. Doubt and unbelief comes out of their mouth. They're not tithers. They're not givers. And they just say, they're going through a situation, and I'll encourage them. They'll say, oh, it's going to work out. Oh, I know God will just do it. No, He won't. If you don't do what He said to do, stop expecting it to work out. Right. Amen. Amen. Stop it. I'm serious. Ignorance. This stupid, watered-down Christianity. Oh, God will do anything He wants. He's so sweet. Lord will just do it for me. No, He won't. In fact, Jesus said, if you hear the Word and don't do the Word, crash is coming for you. That's what it says. He said you're foolish when you don't do the Word. That's what Jesus said. The willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. A faithful man will abound in blessings. If you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God and to observe to do according to all that He's commanded. There's a God side and then there's a man side. God says what to do. Man does it. Then God backs up what He said He would do if you do your part. So stop it. You're fooling yourself. Oh, it'll just turn around. It'll just work out. Nope. Nope. No, it won't. No, it won't. Sorry. Think again. Wrong answer. Praise the Lord. Don't get mad at me. It's the truth. And we saw last week, if we're going to walk into prosperity, because remember, we talked about, we just had a recent thing that we can go back to, and praise God, people were obedient to do it. But remember, the Lord gave me a dream. And I'll better say that real quick. You might be here and you think, well, I'm a tither. I do this, you ain't talking to me. I'll tell you what, number one, you've already fallen into the trap of the enemy. Oh, you're not talking about me. Pride bag.
Yeah, come on.
I'm serious. Oh, I tithe. I do this. Really? 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 What kind of offerings are you giving when the building fund comes? What kind of offerings are you giving when the parking lot needed? How many honor offerings have you sown into somebody's life? Just because you can hit the bare minimum of your tithe and tip God every once in a while, don't think you've arrived financially. Amen. Oh, I got it all worked out. He's not talking to me. I've been a tither forever. Well, what if God tapped you on the shoulder, said, dip into your 401k, and sow a $20,000 check? Would you do it? If that trips you up, you're not ready. Oh, but I've made it. I've made it. He's not talking to me. I'm going to tune him out. Because we see in the Word that God will tap you on the shoulder at times and tell you to sow something that makes your eyeballs spin. He did it in the Word over and over. Why? Because he needed that money for something. But then he said, I want to get you into a harvest that you'd never otherwise get into unless I told you what to do.
Right. Amen.
Amen. So watch it, pride bags. We don't have any of them in here, do we? Nobody better come up to me and say, I got this done. I'm going to look at you and say, pride bag. Nice to meet you. Don't ever think you've arrived and have everything worked out and figured out. In fact, I'm here to tell you there's way more I don't know than I do know. And I'm learning every single day, praise God. A humble heart. God resists the proud. The proud person says, got this, he ain't talking to me. Pride bag. God's resisting you. Amen. Oh, and so we had God talk to somebody about sowing a $10,000 offering. And I know what some people's thoughts were. Thank God he didn't tell me. Oh, thank God he... You don't have your mind renewed. You don't have your mind renewed to finances. Because you ought to be like, oh, praise the Lord. God must be trying to get something good into my life. Amen. And see, we need to renew our minds of this because there's people in this church. You know how I know? Not everybody gave to the parking lot. If you're part of this church, you should have gave to the parking lot. Not everybody gives to the building fund. You're part of this church. Every single person ought to be given to the building fund here. Yeah, you're a part of it. Just like every single person that's a part of this church, you should be serving. Now again, not if you're newer and you're getting settled and stuff and just learning the Word. You know, I make people come to church and be faithful for 6 months before I ask them to do anything. Yeah. Right. And almost across the board, that's the way it is. And so there's people here, yeah, I've got this made, I got this made. No, we don't yet. You know what's crazy is when the $60,000 came in for the parking lot, we rejoiced. You know what the Spirit of God told me? It should have been more. There should have been more because some people just bare minimum. Some people didn't do it at all. What's that mean? Should have been more. Some people heard from heaven and actually did what God told them to do, and that's why we got that amount, but there should have been more. Yeah. And God's going to need that kind of finances. And again, remember, we know the truth behind the matter is he's always just trying to get more into your life.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we saw that God looks at money differently than we do. So we need to renew our minds of these things. Go to Matthew 6 and verse 21 real quick. Praise God. I want people to prosper so bad around here. And don't you get some stupid thought in your head, well, he's just trying to get more money. No. Without your money, the one that's thinking that and saying that, we still got $60,000 for the parking lot. We still got a brand new building. Amen. You could sit there and be greedy and be a part of a church and do nothing for it. We'll be fine without the money. God will give other people the opportunity because I'm trying to answer the thoughts that people are having in the seats right now. Offended and mad about me saying this stuff. God's trying to get you into more. Not trying to take from you. There are people in this seats right now that they're thanking their lucky stars that God has at one point in their life tapped them on the shoulder and made them realize, wow, that's a big offering, but Lord, you said to do it and sowed it. And the harvest that came from that thing and the blessings that came from that. Because what was I saying is, we have people in this church still not tithing. How do I know? Because the Spirit of God. Even if I looked at the offerings, which I don't, even if I did, I wouldn't know if you tithe. I don't ask for your pay stubs. I don't know if you're giving offerings. I have no idea. I don't know who gives to the building fund and who doesn't, but I know it ain't 100% across the board, and I know it ain't 100% in tithing. Why? People's minds aren't renewed. And you're just hurting yourself, and you're hurting the kingdom. And we saw some things, Matthew 6 and verse 21. Look what the Bible says. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Because remember, we said we're going to look at how God looks at money, because we need to renew our minds on what God thinks. Where your treasure is, your heart is. So God says, number one, money is a heart issue. Because He says, where your money goes, your heart's attached to it. Right? That's what He said. So we can't say, oh Lord, I love You, I give You my heart. Because He's after your heart. Remember He told the people, Jesus said to the people over there, I believe it was in Matthew, I can't remember the exact reference. He said, you worship Me with your lips, but your heart is far from Me. He said, you do all this, but what I'm interested in is all this attached with this. He wants your heart. He's after the heart of man, the real you, the one that really loves Him, that's sold out to Him. And He says, if you, money is not a money issue or dollars and cents, it's a heart issue. And we said this, that if you have a heart problem, how do you know you have a heart problem? You get ticked off at the tithe. That little rant I just did back there, you're mad at me. You know, I'm the spiritual doctor here this morning. You're the spiritual patients. And we're trying to diagnose some things because why? When you go to the doctor, and if the doctor finds out you have a heart problem, he needs to let you know. Yeah. So then you can fix it. Why? Because if you let heart problems go, bad things can happen. Right. Amen. Yeah. And I could tell you story after story of people that removed themselves because they were offended over money. And I could tell you story after story about their lives and how things turned out and things are... I could just go on and on about things. Until tomorrow morning, we could talk about some things. Amen. It's just truth. The Bible's true. Word comes to pass. And so he said, if you have problems with money, you have a heart problem. Yeah. The tithe bothers you. If offerings bother you. If building fund bothers you. If parking lot offerings bother you. If talking about finances in church bother you, you have a heart problem. Because it doesn't bother God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I see we're excited here today. Now, we might have to retrain the ushers after the service. Because last night, my head usher, he got a tongue lashing. Because it seems that when you talk about people's money and you talk about people's children, a phenomenon enters the building. It's called the holy hush. You know, we talk about faith and we're victorious and healing and shouting and jumping, but you start talking about people's kids and you start talking about people's money. And so, ushers, if you let that holy hush in here today, you're going to get, you did a bad thing. You're supposed to let everyone else in and keep the holy hush out of here. Don't let the holy hush settle down in here. You have a heart problem if you have a money problem. Don't let heart problems go. Go to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. Just real fast. We don't have a ton to get to today. I'm not going to try to preach this whole series in one day. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8. So first of all, God says you have a heart problem. So money to God is a heart thing. Sure. Yeah. Your money is attached to your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 8 says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. What the heck's that talking about? Well, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 there, Paul's getting ready to take up an offering, money, and he talks about a church, the Macedonian church over there in the Philippian church there in Philippi there, they gave a great sacrificial offering. And he says, in verses 1 through 8, he encouraged them, says, hey, this church did really good on this. I just want to let you know, this church really knocked it out of the park. So he says, the forwardness of others or the generosity of others. I'm telling you about the generosity of others. He says, and I'm telling you they did good and that they proved they were with Me in the kingdom. I want to prove the sincerity of your love. Now we think, oh, that's, without the word backing us, we think, oh, that's shallow. That's shallow. Well, we used an example last week. I came over and shook Jeff's hand. If I come over and shake Jeff's hand and say, brother, I appreciate you. That means something. Yeah. And that's good. Amen. But if I come over and shake Jeff's hand and I have a crisp $100 bill in there and say, brother, I appreciate you, that means something different. Yeah. And don't act like it doesn't. Amen. Because when people sacrifice for you and do things for you that you know took time, effort, energy, and finances, you know when they do that and go out on a limb for you, it means something different. Not that you can't appreciate the without the money, but it's different and it's a higher form of love.
Amen.
And he said here, he said, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove how sincere you are towards God by what you do with this offering. What's he saying? Money is a sign of your heart. Money is a sign of your sincerity towards God. Why? Because they're all attached. Don't say, I love God with all my heart, don't tithe. Don't say, I love God with all my heart, don't give offerings. Don't say, I love God with all my heart, won't sow into the building fund. Just don't do it. You're just telling a lie. Wait till I really show you how much you're lying here today. I mean, just be so happy you came this morning. Praise God. But remember, it's good to have a pastor tell you the truth. Just like remember Stephanie over there. Stephanie Restivo is now Stephanie Hofer. Office manager, used to be the office manager of the Jamestown Church when I was the associate pastor there. Love that girl. She's black and white. She just speaks it how it is. I never have to wonder what she's thinking. She just tells me. And one day I was going to church, you know. I told this story Wednesday night, but we have a lot of new ears here that haven't heard it. I was going to church in the morning to go to work. And I wasn't wearing a suit to the office that day. I had these real fancy brown pants from The Gap. I mean, they look good. Remember those? Had a pattern in them. I mean, it's like GQ, right? Like styling and profiling. You know, I'd really look good. I mean, I didn't look good in them, but the pants look good is what I'm trying to say. They're just like, you know, just kind of trendy is the word, I guess. And then I had a shirt like that, too, that had this pattern in it, looked really good. Well, the problem is I put them on together. And I thought, man, this shirt's awesome. These pants are awesome. And I was looking at myself in the mirror, and something seemed off. I couldn't quite figure it out, but I was like, look, I thought in my head, it looks like a lot of pattern. But these pants are nice, these shirts are nice. I'm going to go. And so I went to the office and pulled in. We both pulled at the same time. And she got out, and she looked at me, and she said, Pastor Mike, what are you wearing? I said, Steph, I'll be right back. And I went home. Changed out of my shirt. I appreciate someone that will tell me the truth. Yeah. We need to find out if you have a heart problem, because heart problems lead to bad things. Yeah. Amen, they do. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll prove how sincere you are. Praise God. By what you do. Well, we say, I don't know. That seems shallow. Well, how do you know that God loved you? God so loved the world that he...
Gave.
That he what?
Gave.
That he what?
Gave.
You mean God's giving... showed you and demonstrated to you that he was for you?
Amen.
The same way your giving will demonstrate and show God, I'm for you.
Amen.
Because we get so attached to our money. So greedy with it. So worried. We just grip it with a death grip. Amen. You know I'm hitting bullseyes today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's go on in this series of God's view concerning money. Go to Proverbs 3 and verse 9. We're trying to bring you up higher, because until your mind's renewed, you won't tithe. You won't give consistently. You see what's great about... I'm not trying to brag, but the Bible says I'm to be an example. And I've already worked it out with him in the back room. He knows my heart. Ain't no pride in this statement. It's just an example. We partner monthly with Reverend Randy Greer Ministries, Chris D'Amico Ministries, Pastor Scott Webb Ministries, the Durant Ministries, the Dufresne Ministries, Reverend Rich Walker over in Spain, and there's one more. Who am I missing? Can't remember who it is, but there's seven. Every month. We partner with our pastor every single month. We give to the building fund every single month. I give offerings every single service that I'm in Olean. 15 some checks I'm writing just for church, for Olean Church and for South Dayton Church. Every single service. But here's the thing that's happening. A constant outflow is going out, which means a constant inflow is always coming in.
Yeah.
Sowing and reaping. It just never stops.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because my mind's renewed. My money isn't mine, it's his.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Okay, who are you out there? You're mad at me right now. Who is it? Who's out there? Who's mad at me right now? Come on.
Come on.
Say who it is. Don't be frustrated at me now. Well, doctor, I didn't want to hear that today. Well, I'm sorry. It's just the truth, and I need to help you.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Proverbs 3 and verse 9, look what it says here. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord. Just the same way I could say to people, do you love God? And you say, oh, I love, my heart's with you. And then we find out, wait a minute, but your money's not, so you really don't. You could do a measure maybe, but not the measure you're thinking. And if I ask people, do you want to be honorable towards God? Do you want to honor the Lord? The obvious question is, of course I want to honor God. I love him. I want to be honorable to him. Well, you want to show him some honor? Honor the Lord with. See that there? There's something you can bring that will show him, I honor you.
Right.
Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase.
Amen.
That's what he says.
Amen.
Money is a heart issue. It's a sincerity issue. And it's an honor issue.
Yes.
If you have problems with the tithe, you have an honor problem.
Yeah.
You do. You have problems with the offering and building fund talk and parking lot talk and sowing into ministers and partnering talk. You have an honor problem. Amen.
Amen.
And here's the thing. The Lord said over there in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, we don't need to turn there. He said, they that honor me, I will honor them.
Right.
You honor God financially, he'll honor you financially.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It's an honor issue. So it's a hard issue. Again, because most people think money. Why are we talking about money? Because to God it's important.
Yeah.
Heart's attached to it. Sincerity's attached to it. Honor's attached to it. Dr. Dufresne, who when he was alive was the foremost prophet on planet Earth after Brother Hagin died, used to speak to the body of Christ in great, great crowds and just a great platform. Not as big as Brother Hagin's was, but it was big. And now there's also a minister, Kenneth Copeland. Both of them, Brother Ed Dufresne's now in heaven. But Kenneth Copeland, another student of Kenneth Hagin, all these ministers that came out of Brother Hagin's camp that are preaching the word and actually taking the word to people. Kenneth Copeland and Brother Ed Dufresne, I think between the two of them, 50, 60, maybe more years of ministry, traveling and seeing things in the body of Christ, generals in the body of Christ, standing at the forefront. Separately, on two different occasions, both of them were asked, what's the major problem in the body of Christ, the number one problem in the body of Christ? You know what they both said without even hesitating? Honor.
Okay.
Lack of honor towards the things of God is by far, across the board, the number one problem in the body of Christ. People don't honor church, they don't honor church, they don't honor the pastor, they don't honor their position that they're to serve in. They don't honor God outside of church. Financially, they don't honor God. It's across the board, honor problems. And the problem with that is God said, if you'll honor me, then I'll honor you.
Yeah.
Not before then. You want the honor of God on your life? You got to honor him.
That's
right. Amen. So it's a heart, a sincerity, an honor issue. Now go with me to Luke 16 and verse 10. God's thoughts concerning money. And again, what I want to say is, if you're here and you're a tither, praise God for your faithfulness. And let me qualify before I even say this. If you're newer and you're just hearing this stuff for the first time, don't beat yourself up. How are you supposed to do it and know to do it if you've never heard it, but now you're hearing it?
Right.
Amen? And if you're someone that's heard it over and over and over again, do the word. But if you're a tither here, praise God for your faithfulness. If you give offerings, praise God for your faithfulness. If you give offerings when God tells you to do something, praise God for your faithfulness. But don't stop and say, he's not talking to me, because God might need to renew your mind, because he might just do this and tell you something to sow that you in your natural mind could never come up with, never even think of doing. But God's saying, if I can get this out of them, oh, the harvest they'll walk into. So even if you're faithful in all three realms of tithing, offering, and obeying your spirit, you still need to get your mind renewed, because there just might be an amount or a number that God talks to you about someday that you got to have your mind so renewed financially for you to write that check or sow that seed to walk into what God has for you.
Amen.
Amen. See, God doesn't see it as money. God sees it as souls.
Yeah.
The building stays open because of money. The word gets preached because money keeps it going.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Amen.
Luke 16 and verse 10, let's see something else about money that God says and got through God's eyes, not just the preacher's eyes, God's eyes. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So the context here is least and much. And he said there's a principle. If you're faithful in least, you'll be faithful in much. If you're unfaithful in least, you'll be unfaithful in much. So the context here is least and much. But verse 11 says, if therefore. Well, the therefore means it's connected to the previous verse. His thought's not stopped concerning the faithful and the least and the much. He's still in that flow.
Amen.
If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's good old-fashioned dollars and cents. He He's saying, if you've not been faithful in money, well, what's faithful in money? Tithing, offerings, and obeying your spirit. What is that? The activator into your prosperity. It all starts with you doing what you have to do. That's the covenant of prosperity gets activated by your giving. And he says, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous man, now remember, the verse before, least much, least much. If you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So let's think about it. Now we have two more subjects, unrighteous mammon, true riches. But in context, we're talking about least and much. Let me ask you, which one do you think is much out of the true riches, out of the true riches or money? Which one's better, true riches or money? The obvious question is true riches. And the least in God's eyes is money compared to true riches. But he says, if you can't even be faithful in money, which he considers least compared to true riches, he says, you'll never get a sniff of true riches. So not only is money a heart thing, a sincerity thing, an honor thing, it's whether or not you'll be disqualified from true riches. What are true riches? Things we'll look at later in the series. I'll tell you what, healing and favor and victory for my children is way better than any dollar bill. There are certain things, ladies and gentlemen, that money cannot buy. Hollywood wishes their money could just buy away all their problems, but we see it over and over again. It doesn't. It doesn't. They have all the money in the world. There's certain true riches. What about the favor of God? What about the, and we're going to see here in the Word, in this series, you just stay put and let the Word do the talking. What your money brings into your life, it ain't just dollar bills. It's blessings for your kids. It's health for your family. It's open doors and protection and divine protection, things working out for you. True riches. You think God's going to use you if you can't be faithful in what he calls least? I'm not going to put someone over in charge of something great if they can't even be faithful with minor things. God says money's minor. The tithe is easy. The offering's easy. And we blow it up like, I can't do it. That's a hard thing to do. No, it's not. It's least in God's eyes. But see, in your eyes, in your mind, it's been blown up big. Renew your mind to the Word. It's least. Amen. True riches depend on it. True riches depend on what you do with the tithe and the offering. It's crazy how important, and yet people get mad at the minister for talking about money. You can't get into true riches without talking about money. You'll never get to talk about true riches without talking about money. We have to get this money thing out of our heads and realize it's just his. It's an easy thing. Whatever he says to do. Praise God. So it's a honor. It's a heart issue, sincerity issue, honor issue, true riches issue. Go to Luke 16:13, a few verses down. We're almost done for today, don't worry. This beating that you're enduring is almost over. And I say that tongue in cheek. The Word is life. If you're feeling beat up, it's just because you just don't do the Word and you don't have any intention of doing the Word. You know why people leave a church like this? Because they can't sit under the conviction any longer. It's true. The person here today that's tithing, giving offerings, and will do whatever God says, they love this message. Love it! Tell me more, Pastor! They don't care. It's amazing, though. I'm saying the same thing. One here's loving it. Another here's saying, shut up. Put the shut with the up. It's true. It's true. He said, no servant, verse 13, can serve two masters. Now, Jesus is telling us the principle here. He's saying, either he will hate the one master and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. So Jesus said, in life, you can't have two masters, because what's going to happen is one of them is going to be a favorite. One of them you're going to hold to and love. One of them you're going to despise and hate. It's just a principle Jesus said. He said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and that's just a King James way of saying money. He's saying one of two things is your master in this life. It's either God or money. How do we know what's your master? What are you obeying? Yeah. And here's the problem. If you're not faithful in money and you're obeying what money says, don't tithe, don't give, don't do whatever. And the Lord's telling you, tithe, give, sow. And you're not doing it? You're saying, now you don't know you're saying this, but you're saying. Because remember Romans 6:16 is another spiritual law. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just quote it for you. Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that who you yield yourselves servants to obey, you are their servants to obey? Basically in English, don't you know that whoever you listen to, you're making them your master? Whether it's sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So he's saying in that principle of Romans 6:16, and we see it played out through the life of Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat the tree. The devil told Adam and Eve, eat the tree. Well, Adam and Eve didn't listen to the voice of God. They listened to the voice of the devil. And what happened? The devil was exalted from what Adam and Eve were, which were the God of planet Earth. Adam and Eve were the gods of planet Earth. They were in charge. God said, I give you dominion. The devil usurped their authority because they said, we want to listen to you. We're going to eat the tree. And because of Romans 6:16, that spiritual law that the New Testament sheds light on, when they obeyed the devil, they were saying, you're our master now.
Right.
When you don't do what God says to do financially, you are saying, money, you're my master.
Right.
And a couple problems with that.
Right.
You can't serve two masters.
Right.
You will love one or despise one. Hold to one or hate one.
Right.
So, regardless if you know it or not, when you don't tithe, now again, if you're newer and just hearing this, we're not talking about that. You got to get revelation. We're talking about people that hear it and don't do it. You are saying, you don't know you're saying this, but according to the word, you are saying, money, I love you more than God. Money, I serve you more than God. That's what you're saying. Now, you might say, nope, I'm not a tither, but I love God more than money. Not according to Jesus. Now, here's the thing. I know in the new age we live in, some crazy things out there. But I'm just going to go with what the Bible says.
Amen.
When I was born, they put on my birth certificate, male. Now, I know, we live in a day and age when your stinking birth certificate no longer is authority enough to identify what sex you are. I know we live in that day and age, but I don't live in a day and age. I live in the Word. And when I was born a male. It doesn't matter if I'm blue, till I'm blue in the face. Try to tell you, I'm a lady. I don't care what you think. I'm a lady. I feel like I'm a lady. I want to be a lady. No. The document that was used for all mankind to tell what sex a person was. And let's just be, I'm not trying to be graphic or lewd here. God made it very easy to tell. It's not his fault that the devil's had so much activity on the earth to go around with oppression from demons to influence. I have no doubt that some people are convinced. But I also have no doubt that the devil's a deceiver. God's made it very clear what a man and what a woman is. Now, that's not my point today, but my point is this. My birth certificate says, man, I don't care how much I tell you I'm a lady. I'm a guy. And I'll be a guy until the day I go home to be with Jesus. I don't care if you sit here and tell me, I love God more than money. I love God more than money. If you're not a tither, no, you don't. Because the Bible, the document. Now again, we live in the day and age when we can twist things, but the document says you don't. The document says you're a lover of money more and that God's not your master. I don't care how much you think you love God. Your money will prove if you love God. Amen. It's true. Oh, Pastor Mike. Aren't you glad someone will say the hard stuff? You can go to a different church if you want to. Now, I know there's other churches that preach the word, but they're few and far between. And you can go to other churches if you want to, but the problem is if you want the Bible, this book will never change. Marriage between what God thinks marriage is never going to change. Relationships and what's proper is never going to change. What God says about money is never going to change. You can go and try to get your ears tickled and go somewhere else where they just spew seeker-sensitive garbage. And you can go there, but if you want God's word that's the power to change your life, the Bible's never going to change. Doesn't matter where you sit. You might find some place where they tickle yours, you go to service and don't have to be under the conviction. But again, people that have their minds renewed to the word, they're amen and me loving this. They love it. Praise God. Now go to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Praise God. I told Jesus I'll preach it from the front page of the back. I don't care if they throw me in prison. I don't care if they take away the tax-exempt status. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm preaching the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible. It doesn't matter to me. God's word is forever, and God's word will never end, and God's word will never fade away. Now, again, you need to understand this. My heart, I'm not belittling anybody that has certain thoughts or practices a certain lifestyle. I love every person. I want every person to go to heaven. You know, you can be pro-Bible, and that doesn't mean you're a bigot. Doesn't mean you're a hater. To be pro what God says, it doesn't mean that I hate the homosexual because I hate that sin. It doesn't mean that. I love them. It doesn't mean that I think it's crazy and wrong and against the Bible when people start saying certain things against God's word. It doesn't mean that I'm a bigot and a hater. I love them, but I will preach the truth and righteousness. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. So remember, the Bible says you can't serve two masters. And if you're not doing it God's way, money, you're saying, money, you're my master. And again, he will love one, hate the other, hold the one, despise the other. Well, what's the problem with the loving of money? Well, how do you know you love money? When you don't do God's word. Right. You're saying, I love money more than you, Father. Well, here's the problem. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. The love of money, not money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. How can the devil come skating into your life and cause havoc in your family, cause havoc in your body, in your jobs, in your business, in your children? Be a lover of money. You don't know what doors you're opening by not obeying God financially. That's why I'm preaching this message. That's why I'm preaching this series. And hoping everybody comes up higher because there's so much at stake with what you do with your money. And again, it puts us on trial because then we think, okay, I got decisions to make. Well, that's how it is with God. That's how it will always be with God when you're in a word church. The word will get preached, it'll be in your face, and you have a choice. Do it or don't do it. But Jesus said the ones that don't are fools. Love of money is the root of all evil. And we'll close here and go to Mark 4:19 and we'll shut this thing down. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. I had somebody last week come up to me after service. And this is just kind of, you know, I never say names or anything, but I want to use this as an example because it's a lot of people's example. It used to be my example. So I'm sick and tired, Pastor, of being sick and tired. This is kind of just the gist, summarize the conversation. I've been with you for 5 years and nothing good has changed in my finances. So they told me. And I said, well, we've met before, you know, and told you what to do. Are you doing it? And they just, honest, I was so appreciative of their honesty. I said, nope, haven't been a faithful, consistent tither. Haven't been a faithful giver. Up and down, up and down. Well, the faithful man will abound in blessings. The doer of the word. And they said, it's just been a nightmare financially. And I've heard you say the same thing over and over and over and over again. I said, well, it's time to start doing it. Today's a brand new day. And they said they're going to start doing it. Praise God. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, it's never going to just all of a sudden change until you change first. That's right. That's good. But if you'll start being faithful financially, It gets to a point because right now the thought is, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to give offerings. I can't afford that. No, no, no. When you get your mind renewed and start seeing what God does, the new thing you'll start saying is, I can't afford not to. I'm a tither who says I can't afford not to do it. There's too many good things that come from it. Oh, how I wish everybody would just do the Word of God. Oh, how I wish everybody would just do the Bible. Mark 4 and verse 19. So how does the devil, and this is what you need to know about money. So we've seen money's a heart issue, a sincerity issue, an honor issue, a true riches issue, a loving of God and serving of God issue. It says, in the cares of this world, then look at this next line, the deceitfulness of riches. What is the Bible trying to tell you here? That money is a liar. Money's a liar.
Amen.
You don't realize, but things talk to you all the time. Your bills talk to you. Your body talks to you. Your job talks to you. It might not have a mouth and open its mouth, and you might not hear things coming out. But your job's telling you, oh boy, it's not going to be good. Your body's telling you, what are you going to do with this sickness? Oh, that's never going to work. Oh, what happens with that? Your situations have a voice. Yeah. How do we know? The fig tree talked to Jesus. Jesus spoke to the tree. Well, you only speak to something that's speaking to you.
That's right.
Well, now let me rephrase that. Because sometimes you do speak to things that aren't speaking to you. But the Bible says Jesus answered the fig tree. Yet the fig tree didn't all of a sudden get a mouth and start talking because the disciples never heard it. But the Bible says Jesus answered in Mark chapter 11, the fig tree. What was the fig tree saying? Na-na-na-na-boo-boo. You're not going to eat. You're not going to have anything. You're going to have lack. And Jesus answered that tree. Well, your finances are talking to you. Your bills that are stacked up are talking to you. Your checkbook, it'll talk to you. Amen. But here's the thing. When it does talking, nothing true comes out of its mouth. Deceitfulness of riches. Your money's a liar. Your money will sit there and tell you over and over and over. You see, one of the ways this little... Let me just hold this little thing right up here. See this little thing right here? You know one way... She's smiling, I hope, still. Or is she looking like, Daddy, put me down? The one reason that this little thing is like this little dominant force that just moves through life with fire and can break us down and can just absolutely, I don't even know how to put it. That little thing right there's got it in her because she's relentless and she over and over and over. You know why your money can get you gripped with fear? Because over and over and over, it's telling you, you can't tithe, you can't tithe, don't you tithe, you can't give, don't you give, you'll never make it, you'll never make it, you'll never make it, you'll never make it, it's not going to be good, you're going to struggle, you'll never have enough, it'll ruin your life, and over and over and over again until you give up and say, I'm just not going to do it. But let me help you here, because some of you here are not tithers. In the thought of actually taking your, which we're going to look at the tithe next week and all the good things about the tithe, what the Bible says. The thought of actually taking 10%, not off the net, off the gross. You do realize you made the gross. So I didn't see the gross, but you still made it. Just because the government took it before you touched it. You still made that amount of money, and the Bible says off of your increase, you increased.
That's right.
The truth. It's a heart issue, really.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying. People that just try to get out of it the very least, I'm just going to do the very least, that's a heart problem.
Yeah. Amen.
You made the gross, you just didn't see the gross.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, so let me go on here. And so some of you are not tithing, and the thought of actually doing that scares the living daylights out of you. I mean, some of you have already made up your mind. It doesn't matter what he says. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Well, hopefully you stick around for the rest of the series and see what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
And then there's some people, they stop right at the tithe. I mean, they stop right to the penny. You know how I know? For 3 years, I was the accountant. I use that word loosely at the Jamestown Church. And I saw the offerings come in. And I saw some people every single week give to the penny. Never give an offering. What'd they do? They stopped exactly at 10%. I mean to the 27 cents, 33 cents, every single week. You knew exactly what their paycheck was. And now praise God they were at the tithe. But the Bible says tithes and offerings. They're different. And so some of you, to step out on the tithe would be like, this is the way I liken it, having a wire going across Niagara Falls and stepping out on that thing with no harness and no net underneath you. How scary would that be? That's what the tithe's like. And then you go up further and say, the offering? And then you hear a pastor say that God told somebody to give 10,000. That's like trying to do a cartwheel on the high wire. And by the way, those people said, you're talking about us. God's been telling us. And they sold it. They gave it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They'll be blessed. And I'll come back and tell you. This is why it pays to obey God. Because they'll have a testimony. Why? Because the word never not works. But here's my point, and this is what I want to help you with. As a loving, see, we started off sweet about prosperity, then we put in a hamburger bun, now we're going to give you the other bun to soften it up. Okay, let me help you with this. So to write the tithe would be like, oh my gosh, stepping out with no harness. Writing an offering on top of a tithe, for somebody who's like, I don't know, and oh my gosh, it's so scary. Am I going to make it? Oh. And then God might actually tell you to dip into your savings or to sacrifice and sow bigger. It's like, I can't do it. Well, let me just say this. When a high wire, and I've heard interviews, a high wire act person that goes out there, when they go out without a harness and without a net, that's one way to do it. But when they go out with the harness and with the net under, it's different.
Yeah.
It's different when you walk out onto that wire and you're attached, and you can feel the pressure on your back, and you know that if I fall, I'm just going to dangle.
Yeah.
It's kind of like this. One time I went to hunt in a tree stand and sat there all day, morning to night, 5:30 in the morning till 5:30 at night, and I got up there, and I was in a great spot. It took me a long time to get in. I had to leave like 4 in the morning because the way I had to go was to get there, walk slow so I didn't sweat up the place. And I get up to the tree, and I realize, oh, my gosh, I forgot my harness, and I never hunt without a harness. And if you hunt without a harness, you're a fool. Your life's more important than a deer. Don't fall out and get hurt. Amen. And I found this, that hunting with a harness and hunting without a harness, it was hunting, but it was different. Sitting there without that harness, every move, I didn't dare take a nap. When you sit there all day, you're going to be some napping. And I just didn't dare do that. I didn't dare hardly move at all when I stood up to make a shot. But when I have my harness on and I tighten it up to the top of the tree and I can actually, when I sit down, feel it like pull against me, it's everything. I just put my head over my head, go to sleep. I have a heater bodysuit. I'll pull that thing up over my head and zip it up in the dark while I'm sitting there and go to sleep. And I'm like, if I fall, well, I don't think I'm gonna, but if I do, I'm just gonna swing back and forth in the tree. But without the harness, you crash down. You walk out onto the high wire without a harness. It's different than walking out with a harness and a net underneath you. What's my point? The Word of God is your harness, and the Word of God is your net. When you are sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, the tithe, oh my gosh, the offering. What does the Word say? What does the Word say about the tithe? What does the Word say about the offering? That's your harness to go, oh yeah, I can do this. Oh yeah, I can move around a little bit, be a little bit more free in doing this, because if I fall, I'm falling into the Word. And the Word says, if I tithe, this will happen. Don't matter what the thoughts are saying, because the thoughts are saying, you're going to fall, you're going to fall, you're going to fall. But the Word's your harness and your net, that you're safe.
Amen.
Amen. God's trying to pull you up higher. I found this. If God can get past the money issue in your life, He can get anything into your life, because it's the number one thing that people put before Him.
Amen.
And the people that say, money is not between us anymore, God, Lord says, time to use them. It's time to really use them and see what we can do in their life, because their heart's with me now. Amen?
Amen.
So next week, we're going to look at the tithe to start showing you what do you do, what does the Bible say about it, just all the things about the tithe, the blessings of it, what God thinks about it throughout the Bible and things like that. Then we'll go on to the offering, and then we'll go on to how God tells us to do special things at times, at sacrifice, because if you're a Holy Ghost person, He's going to tell you sometime. And then we're going to go on to and look in the Word at the things that your obedience financially will bring you that aren't even money at all.
Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. We praise You, Lord, and glorify You. We magnify You and honor You this morning. We thank you for your mercy and for your goodness. Come on and just thank him. That might have went down hard, but it's the truth. I mean, I have to tell the truth. I mean, if you say I don't like the Bible and I don't want the Bible, then that's your prerogative. But I'm going to be a preacher of the Bible. I have no choice. So we love the Word today, Father. Just praise him. Just thank him. Father, we glorify you and magnify you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. And Lord, we're not trying to beat anybody up, Father. This is between you and them. I don't know what people are doing and what they're not doing. But Father, I know by my heart not everybody's on board. And Father, I just pray for every single person here. Lord, I know what the tithe means for people. I know what the offering means. I know what obedience financially can bring people. Things I've walked into in life would have never happened if I wasn't obedient financially. Things other people in this service right now have walked into, they would have never walked into that if they weren't faithful financially. So Father, I pray for every single heart here this morning that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling, that you'd grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, that their eyes would be open to seeing what the Word says, because Lord, you're not trying to lead them out into some dangerous territory of poverty and lack. You're trying to lead them into the greatest, most blessed life they've ever had. So Father, I pray their eyes would be open to that, and that the voice of the enemy would become small and the voice of the Word would become loud. And we thank you, Lord, for your direction, for your spiritual compass here this morning to help us. And Lord, we see money is a big thing to you. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing to you. And so Lord, we repent for times we've balked at this or been offended at money. Lord, no, we want what you want, Father. We're on board with you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. As I look around the room, I know that everybody in this room is born again. But by chance, there might be someone listening by live stream right now or listening in the future on the archives that's not received Jesus. And if you're listening and you say, I want to go to heaven someday, I'd love to know that I have that assurance of going to heaven. Well, the Lord's made it easy. He said there's two qualifications to get to heaven. Number one is you got to believe in Jesus. If you believe he died and rose again. Now, you might not understand everything, but in your heart of hearts, you know, yeah, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe he's real. That's the first qualification, but there's a second qualification. You have to invite him into your life, because he'll knock and knock and knock and knock and knock until you let him in. So if you're listening to my voice, you say, I want to go to heaven, and I do believe in Jesus. There's just one thing left to do. All you have to simply do is cry out to him, call on his name, say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died and rose again for me. Please come into my heart. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. And when you pray that, shoot us an email, give me a phone call, let me know. We'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. Now, before we go this morning, God prepared a great meal for us. Let's thank him for the meal that he prepared. Father, we thank you. That spiritual meal to help us. We thank you. You love us so much that you placed us in a place, Lord, that will tell us the truth, that will help us, try to get us to a higher place. We love you, and we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30, and also there's goodies over in the old sanctuary. You're dismissed. Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what he has done for us. Tell the world of his great love. Our God, our God saves. Our God is our God saves. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever.
I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, there's power to save, power to heal, power to supply, and power to reveal. There's power to bless you and set you free. I love the power. Yes, the power's for me. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. There's power to save, power to heal, power to supply, and power to reveal. There's power to bless you and set you free. I love the power, yes, the power's for me. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. Destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, I believe in the power of God. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. There's power to save. There's power to heal. Power to supply. And power to reveal. There's power to bless you and set you free. I love the power. Yes, the power's for me. I believe in the power of God. It flows into the bound. It sets the captives free. It destroys every yoke of the enemy. Oh, I believe. got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our authority. We got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our authority. Satan wishes that you didn't know. When Jesus came and stripped him, he put on a show. He's not as powerful as you might think. He's like a lion, but he's got no teeth. 'Cause we've got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our authority. Bestowed authority and righteousness. Don't be satisfied doing without. You ought to take your place and give him a shot. 'Cause we've got the power. We're not in defeat. Risen with Jesus, taking our seat. We have dominion, that's the key. We're taking our